Well, this morning, as I said, we're continuing to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And last week, we talked about the word of knowledge. And this morning, I want to talk about the word of wisdom and what that is. Because it's a little bit, again, if you're not careful, which we need to be, it can be a little bit confusing because there's natural wisdom and there's spiritual wisdom or words of wisdom. How do you define wisdom? Because to me, I'd like people to think, I got to be honest, I would rather people think that I'm wise rather than I'm smart. Maybe that's just me. Maybe you're going, you're crazy. I don't want to be a knucklehead walking around looking very wise and yet not know anything. If I ever do that again, I'm going to take the tape off and we're going to stop. I promise Jim was watching me. I'm not going to do that again. There we go. All right, I'm better now. I'll just stand here. I would much rather, was that knowledge or wisdom that I kicked that cord? I'm trying to decide. It was probably a lack of both. But I would rather be wise, to be honest with you. And wisdom is defined by a number of different things. It's first of all, it's knowledge that's gained by having experience in life. Because whenever we talk about somebody wise, we normally think of them as being somewhat older, normally. No pressure. It was that you looked right at me when I said that, Pete, so I've But usually wisdom comes with experiences. It's also the natural ability to understand things that many other people cannot. That's natural wisdom. You sort of get it about things. It's also knowledge of what is proper or reasonable. We often use terms like good sense or good judgment. That's natural wisdom. That's not words of wisdom that the Bible talks about. That's something different. And yet, down through the ages, people have wanted to be wise, certainly, and a lot of great thinkers talk about wisdom. Socrates said that the only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. I'll think about that for a second here. Socrates always confused me just a little bit. I think it was the white robes, I'm not sure. But he said the only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. That's true wisdom. Benjamin Franklin, one of my personal historical heroes, I've always thought just Ben Franklin's just the bomb. The guy had a lot of things going on. But he said, and it's very similar to Socrates, he says the doorstep to the temple of wisdom is the knowledge of our own ignorance. That's what he says about wisdom. Thomas Jefferson, honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom, honesty. And so there are elements of wisdom that you have to maintain in order for the wisdom to be present. One of those things is you need to be honest about yourself when it comes to wisdom. I would think, just who you are, just understanding, you know, this is who I am. Doesn't mean that I can't change. It doesn't mean that I can't grow. But coming to grips with who I really am. It also, you have to be honest about your environment and what's going on around you, as well as being honest about your limitations. These are all things that encompass natural wisdom. The Bible also talks about natural wisdom. What book of the Bible would you expect to find the most about wisdom written? Proverbs, sure. So you're such a smart group. But the book of Proverbs, which is really not that big of a book, 29 times the word wisdom is used in the book of Proverbs. Over 50 times it uses the word wise. So all of those things, as a matter of fact, the first several chapters of Proverbs began as, originally, an account of a father speaking to his son-in-law. So you probably think it's probably the father of the woman, right? It's probably the lady's father, and she's pulling the son along, coming along and going, hey, son-in-law, mom, if you need to do this for him, you do this. Pull him aside. And say, hey, listen, this is how we want you to live. This is wise ways of living. This is what wisdom is all about. And so Proverbs talks about all of those things. And when you read through them, you know there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Do you know that? One for every day of the month. Most months. So if you want to do that at some point, begin looking at the first of the month. Read the first chapter of Proverbs. The second day, read the second chapter. And you can just read through constantly all of those different things that Proverbs comes and says, you know, this is the way that we should think. This is the way that we should live when we want to live lives that are honoring to God. A word of wisdom is something completely different than that. A word of wisdom is a supernatural inspiration of the Holy Spirit that goes beyond the natural. That's what a word of wisdom is. It's supernatural because now remember, in the first thing we talked about these gifts of the Spirit, we had said that they weren't natural, they were supernatural. But we didn't want to get nervous about that. We didn't want to get all concerned. What are we? Are we talking spooky things? You know, is this kind of weird? Are we like X-Files church, or what are we doing here? No, it's none of those things. Supernatural just simply means that God is beyond the things that we can understand. That's what supernatural is. So with the gifts of the Spirit, when I get knowledge that is not something that I know, but God gave it to me, that's the gift of knowledge. When I have wisdom about life and about how to do things that's beyond my own understanding, that's God's wisdom that he gives to us. It provides insight. It provides guidance. It gives counsel. All of these things that wisdom is designed for a church. It's probably the gift that works the most with the other gifts. Wisdom functions with other gifts. And one we talked about last week, knowledge. We talked about that with knowledge, it's information about a specific event or a specific situation, the details of it. Wisdom is what allows you to know how to use that knowledge to the best way. That's why those two things work together. Knowledge is about information. It's about facts. It's about things that you would not know. Wisdom is what it is that helps you to understand how to use that knowledge. That's why it's so important to the church. That's why in the church we ask God to give us these gifts, because I don't know about you, but the direction for Remnant Life Church, I don't want this church to do anything that God doesn't want us to do. That's what we want Remnant Life to be. That's why we don't look at other churches and try to compare ourselves. God's got a plan for them. He has a plan for us. What's the plan? Well, we need knowledge, and we need wisdom to know what that is. Now, the thing about these gifts, as we've said before, and it's why there are not rules, but there are guidelines to these gifts, is that because it comes through our minds and through our thinking and our experiences, there's every opportunity for it to not be the way it should. It could be wrong. I might misinterpret something. I might think I know something for sure, and in reality, it's something different. That's why the Bible tells us to test these things, and that's why we have guidelines for them. So if you're thinking about wisdom, who's the man of wisdom in the Scripture? Who do you think about being? Kind of goes with Proverbs. Who? Solomon, of course. Solomon is the man that we always think of. Solomon was the king of Israel during the Golden Age. For all of you Republicans, it would have been he's the Ronald Reagan of the Bible, if you're Republican. If you're not, I'm not here to get into it, never mind. But so Solomon, during the time that Solomon was king over Israel, things were great. People were prospering. People were doing well. There weren't any real overt enemies that he had to deal with. People came and gave him homage, gave him gifts. When you read through the Bible in Kings, look at all the things that Solomon was given every single year by different nations. They said his wealth just continued to increase. Why was Solomon so picked out to receive this blessing? Well, if you have your Bible, 1 Kings, the third chapter, is where I want to look at this just real quick about Solomon. Because again, the thing that's interesting about this is that when you look at wisdom versus a word of wisdom, Solomon asked for wisdom of the natural. He asked for natural wisdom. That's something different, but it's just as important. In 1 Kings 3, 5 to 12, let me just read this real quick. If you don't have, just listen. See, the great thing here, people always come up and tell me, Pastor Dave, I didn't bring my Bible. I have my iPhone with me. I can get every Bible verse on there. It's okay. I understand. It's a whole new age. It's a good thing I'm not that old, so I can know what's going on here. All right, where am I? The fifth verse. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. He's, of course, talking about himself. He says, now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child. Now, obviously, he's not talking about physically. He's referring to himself mentally, emotionally. The way that he's able to do what God's called him to do. That's a heart of humility. He says, I'm just a kid and don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth, for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I'll also give you what you did not ask for, riches, honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. God was so pleased with what Solomon did by asking him not for, he said, you didn't ask me to be the richest guy in the land. You didn't ask me to be the biggest and the baddest. You didn't even ask me that I'd get rid of all your enemies so you could have a nice, easy life. He said, you asked me to be able to be the best king you could be by having wisdom. Now, that type of wisdom is different than a word of wisdom. That type of wisdom, the original language, the word is chacham. Put that on a Scrabble board. Yeah, chacham. I'm even going to bother trying to spell it. But what that word means in the original language, it means to be shrewd or to be cunning. It means to be skillful in technical things. It means to be administratively gifted. Solomon, if you read through, was every single one of those things. God blessed him with that natural wisdom. But the word of wisdom that Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians is a different word. That word, the original language, is Sophia. That word means to have the broadest and deepest sense of wisdom that comes from God. They're linked, but they're different. And what was the reason that Solomon was given the great gifts that he was given? Yes, he asked for the right thing, but how did he approach God from the very beginning? What kind of a heart? He was humble. He said, God, I'm king, but I don't know what I'm doing. You got to help me out here. How many times have we been willing to humble ourselves in that same way? In anything that we do. Think back to some of the jobs that you've had or some of the jobs that you currently have. Who was the best person you ever worked for? I guarantee you that person had a humble heart. Guaranteed. They didn't smack you about with their laws and with their rules. They didn't lord over you and make you feel like that you had to grovel for anything that you got. I guarantee that person had a humble heart. My friends, everything that we do begins with humility. It begins with a humble heart before God. Anything when we come at him with pride, he's going to remove from us. Can I encourage you this morning that as you're beginning to ask God about these gifts, that you do it with humility? And just say, God, I don't know what it is that you want me to do here, but I know I need you. I know, God, that I need whatever it is that you're going to give me so that I can do all that I can for you. Now, this wisdom that Paul is talking about, this Sophia, it's a wisdom that follows the same rules as all of the other gifts, especially into the regard to the one that's being given the gift. And I want to go back to 1 Kings 3. And in the 16th verse, we see a story of Solomon that demonstrates perfectly why we need to be careful about these gifts to make sure that we're doing everything in a right way. It's a story you're probably familiar with. He says real quick, he says, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. Catch that verse before I say anything else. Does that strike anybody else as strange? Two prostitutes come to the king? How does that work? How did two prostitutes get to come before the king of Israel? I never thought about that too much before, but it occurred to me as I was studying this, that in and of itself shows you Solomon's heart. It shows you the heart of somebody humble. Because a prostitute in those days was not somebody that was a natural part of society. Now, they had temple prostitutes. We talked about that before, didn't we? So there was value in what they were doing according to the culture. But the prostitutes that just were all around and just being with the people, they weren't people that normally got to come and say hi to the king. His heart was open to whatever it was that God wanted for him. And so he gets an opportunity, though, to demonstrate God's wisdom. He says, now they stood before him and said, my Lord, this woman, this is the one woman, she says, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there. And the third day after my child was born, she also had a baby. We were alone, no one in the house. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. I guess she turned over in bed and suffocated the child. So she got up in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while the servant was asleep, and she put him by her breast and put her dead son by me. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw it wasn't my son that I had born. The other woman said, no, The living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one's yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued back and forth before the king. King said, this one says my son's alive and your son is dead, while the other one says, no, your son is dead, mine's alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. Here comes the wisdom. Bring me a sword. So they brought him a sword for the king, and he gave the order, cut the living child in two. Give half to the one, half to the other. The woman, whose son was alive, was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the baby. Don't kill him. But the other one said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. And the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is his mother. Then verse 28, it says, when all of Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe, because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. This is just such a perfect account of a way that God will, when we ask him, give us wisdom beyond what we know. What did he have dealing with? All he had was this is my word versus yours. There's no way to win that. There's no way to make a decision as a third party when it's one word against another. No witnesses, no way of knowing. But God planted it into Solomon's heart, the wisdom, to be able to create a scenario that would expose who the proper mother was. But verse 28 is an important one, because it's something that we need to always be aware of, and you'll hear me talking about this a great deal. What happens with the gifts is an important part. Even more important, I think, sometimes than what it is that's taking place is how we respond to them. The 28th verse says that the whole kingdom was in awe of what had happened, because they knew and saw what God had done. A gift of the Spirit will always point people back to God. That was a good thing that took place. The people were pointed back to God. They realized that it came from God. But what else does it also say? And this is the caution for us with the gifts. It says the people were in awe of the king. Folks, we never want to allow things that God gives us to be able to do for him to allow the attention to be brought to us. That's the humble heart. That's the humility that God wants us to carry, that he can trust us with the gifts of the Spirit, that when he gives us a word of knowledge, when he gives us a word of wisdom, when he allows us to pray over somebody and they're healed immediately, when he allows us to be able to pray with such great faith that it changes things that are taking place around us, always have to be pointing them back to him. And so a word of wisdom is something that allows us to be able to take the things that are going on around us, a word of knowledge, any of those things, and apply them in a way that is for the good of the church and for the good of the body. These gifts are often used, as I said, in conjunction with other things as well. And that's why we always want to be mindful and watching for the things that God is doing. This is why you want to stay in an attitude of prayer. It's why you always want to be asking God, God, what is it that's taking place here? Something unusual happens and we're so quick to dismiss it and make it think that it's something, well, you know, boy, that's weird. You know, it may not be weird at all. It may be something that God is wanting to do, to show you something, to demonstrate something to you. Maybe he's wanting to give you a gift that you never had before. Don't forget, these gifts can be something that happened just very occasionally. It may be a gift that you will always have, but God may just have a very specific reason for you to have a word of knowledge, for you to have a word of wisdom. Now, how do you do that in church, though? What do you do? I mean, if I get a word of wisdom, do I just like stand up in church and go, Pastor Dave, I got a word of wisdom. I want to tell you something here. No, that's not the way we do that. There are ways that we set in place that you can bring these words. I would love to receive words of wisdom from some of you. If God gives you something, you say, Pastor Dave, I want to share this with you. I'd love to hear that from you. You can bring that word to me. You can bring it to Katarina. You can bring it to Dave or to Faith. Actually, any one of the sevens, you can bring, just say, hey, listen, I got something to share, and would you agree with me on this? Would you pray with me to see if it's something that God wants to do? Because the gifts all apply with the same rules, the same guidelines. Let me tell them to you quickly, and then I'll start wrapping this up. Number one, it has to give glory to God. Always, the gift gives glory to God, no matter what it is. The second thing is, as I've just said, it needs to be given in humility. My friends, one of the easiest ways to determine if the gift is genuine is, what's the condition of the heart of the person that's giving it? It's one of the easiest ways that we can tell. What's the condition of the heart of this person? If it's somebody that's obviously trying to get a lot of attention for themselves, then we're just going to say, you know, let's just wait on that. Let's just continue to pray about that. Third one is it has to be in order and subjected to church authority. I went to a church one time, and it was the first time I'd ever been to a charismatic church, a church that embraced the gifts of the Spirit. I had been raised in a Baptist church. You don't do that stuff in a Baptist church. No, no, no. Any Baptists in here? Any? Don't do that in a Baptist church, and that's fine. But in a Baptist church, it's very ordered. You come in, you do the exact same thing every service in order. You have your hymnal, you have your bulletin, all of those things. That's great. But the first time I went to a charismatic church, it scared the shirt off me, terrified me. These people were running around. It was a zoo. I'm going, oh, my gosh. Literally running up and down aisles in the middle of while the guy's there preaching. Now, it doesn't have to be dead silent in a place. The kids, they're great, and that doesn't bother me. I used to be a phys ed teacher. You know that, so I can talk over anything. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible tells us that there does need to be order. So let me tell you this. If we're in the midst of a service, and you've got something pressing on your heart, and you don't understand, but you're just going, I need to share this with somebody, find one of these folks that are sitting, and just pull them aside and share your heart with them. Does that make sense? We want to give you that opportunity. We want to give you an outlet for these things. It doesn't do any good to talk about these gifts if you don't know how you're supposed to use them. So God gives you a word of knowledge. God gives you a word of wisdom. Share it with somebody so that we can pray with you about it and see if it's something that God wants to use right then. A couple more things. The gift always has to be tested. It always has to be tested. The Bible tells us that several times throughout the scriptures, that you test the word. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor Dave? Well, it just simply means is that Satan can bring counterfeit words as well. We have to be on guard for those things. We want to make sure that we're doing exactly what it is that God tells us to do. And the last one is that that word has to be good for the church. It has to be good for everybody. Paul tells us through that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians many times is that it's for the unity of the church. It's for the good of everybody. So what I want you to do, what I would encourage you to do, is to begin, as we're talking about these things, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, is to begin to ask God, God, how do you want that to be a part of my life? How am I supposed to operate in those things? What's my gift? Do I have a gift? I can guarantee you, you do. God gives that to each and every single person. Now, the very first and most important thing is that you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Gifts don't come to those that don't know him. That just sort of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that would seem to just make sense. So if you've never done that, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, that would be the very first thing, the most important thing that you do, because that's about eternity. And then when that's taken place, when you're a part of Jesus in your life, to say to him, God, what is it you want me to do? What are these gifts that I can have? Can I be used of you in the church in a way to help the body, to help this church to grow? And see, one of the things that we have been doing since we started this church is we've been asking God to bring people with these gifts, to bring people that have the knowledge, that have the ability to be able to speak these things for the church body, because this is how we grow. This is how we do the things and accomplish the things that God has called for Remnant Life Church. And we pray them for other churches as well. And so as we continue on with these things, as we continue to look at these things together, can I encourage you to ask God for them for your own life? You say, well, Pastor Dave, what if I get a gift that I don't understand it? That's okay. God will allow you to grow in those things. You say, Pastor Dave, what if I get a gift that I'm not real comfortable with right now? Well, I can guarantee you, if God wants you to have that gift, you'll get comfortable with it. You'll get comfortable because this is a safe place. This is a place where you can use your gift that God's given you. And it's okay to be wrong once in a while. We'll still love you. You don't get one shot and then you're out the door. As many chances as you need. But we want to do that together as family because we want everything in this church that God wants us to have. You've heard me say this before. If God grows Remnant Life Church to 55 or 60 people and that's all he wants us to have, I don't want one more. If he wants 5,000 here, I don't want one less. I just want what he wants. That's all. Just want what he wants. And you folks are such an important part of that. So this morning, let me encourage you to step out a little bit on a ledge and just say, okay, God, I don't understand all of this, but I know you're my Lord and Savior, and I know I want to be everything that you want me to be, and I want to be a part of this church. I want to help in whatever way I can. So, God, what's my gift? Show me my gift, and we'll walk through that with you. We're going to continue to talk about these things, and you're going to begin to see as we go through them, and I'm going through some of these early ones that are not quite as demonstrative. There are some gifts coming up that are a lot more open and vocal, and things that people will go, really? Yeah, really. These things are all given of God. They're all given of Him. What we want to do is to be good stewards of them and to accept them with a humble heart. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you do want to give us these gifts. I thank you, Father, that you have provided them for us in order to be able to stand against the enemy, in order to be able to bring good and to bring encouragement to our church, in order, Father, so that people can see that you are who you say you are. The word tells us that in the power of those gifts, it brings conviction to the hearts of those that don't know you. And Father, we want to be able to be a part of that. And so I pray and continue to lift up each of my brothers and sisters here. I pray, Father, that we would ask you expectantly for these gifts to be a part of our lives. Lord, we don't understand them all. I don't understand every bit of it. But Lord, I do want to walk in faith to say, God, if you want to use me in a particular way, here I am. God, if you want to work through me for a particular gift, here I am. And I release, Father, my discomfort. I release to you my mind, my thinking. I release to you, Father, any preconceived notions that I've had about these things, and just simply say, God, have your way in my life. Father, I thank you that you have brought us here together. And I pray now that as we continue just to worship you and love you through fellowship, I pray, God, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. We love you, Father, and we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going to get a chance to hang out a little bit together and enjoy some good food and those kinds of things. I want to remind you, as we do every Sunday, the tithe and offering box is here again. Thank you so much for those of you that helped out with making this possible, and just continue to be obedient. That's also part of what I believe God is pressing us on. We live in a day and an age, this will be a big shock, you'll say, wow, Pastor Dave, you're so astute. It's expensive to live life today. It's not easy. And yet, there's no time more that God wants us to walk in faith than with the things of finances, to trust Him. And people get really nervous already. Some of you are going, all right, that's enough of that. You said the F word. You said finances. Don't be doing that anymore. No. You know my heart. My heart is that God will bless you fully with everything that He has for you. And to do that, we need to be obedient to Him. So I want to encourage you, continue to step out in faith for what God's called you to do. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. Get a chance to relax just for a couple of minutes and just kind of walk around, go to the restroom or whatever it is that you need to do.